We're going to talk about interpreting the letters.
现在我们要讲解释书信。
Letters make up 21 out of 27 books in the New Testament.
新约的27本书当中有21本是书信，使徒的书信。
35% of the content of the New Testament is in letters.
新约的35%的内容都是书信的内容。
The names for the letters in the New Testament
新约书信的名称
are dependent upon if they're written by Paul,
如果是保罗写的
the names are from the, are, then they're named after the recipient.
那就是名字就是是收信者的名字。
So when he writes a letter to Timothy,
比如说他写信给提摩太
it's called 1 Timothy.
就提摩太前书后书。
When he writes a letter to the church at Corinth,
他写给哥林多的教会
it's called 1 Corinthians.
那叫做哥林多前书。
The letters that are not written by Paul,
如果不是保罗写的书信呢
we'll call the general letters.
就称之为普遍书信。
The names of these are not from the addressees.
那就不是收信人的名字了，这些。
The names come from the authors.
乃是作者，就写信人的名字。
So when John writes a letter,
所以当约翰写书信的时候，就
it's First John.
就约翰一书。
Peter, First
Peter. 彼得就彼得前书后书。
The exception,
唯一的例外呢
is Hebrews.
是希伯来书。
We don't know who wrote Hebrews.
不知道谁写的希伯来书啊。
Some people think Paul.
有人认为是保罗是作者。
Some people think Apollos.
有人认为是亚波罗。
Some people think Luke.
还有认为是路加。
We're not sure who wrote it.
我们不知道啊，到底是谁。
Let's talk about the purpose of New Testament letters.
再看看新约书信的目的，写作的目的。
The letters were authoritative substitutes for personal presence.
好，这些书信。是有权柄的代表人的同在的有权柄的这些书信
Paul's original audience
保罗的起初的听众
would have viewed his letters
会认为他所写的书信呢
as a substitute
是代替他
for Paul himself
他本人的在那儿
The letters provided a way for early Christians
所以这些书信呢让早期的基督徒
leaders, early Christian leaders, sorry,
这些教会领袖
to express their views from a distance,
可以从一段距离，这些教会领袖可以隔一段距离把他们的观点讲出来，阐明。
Obviously, they didn't have telephones.
当然那个时候还没有电话，手机都没有
，or email,
或者 email, 电信也没有。
And so letters provided a way for them to communicate.
所以写信呢是他们彼此交往的方式。
Now they're a substitute for personal presence.
所以这些是代替本人在的一个代替啊，代替他本人的东西。
But more than just a substitute.
不仅仅是代替取而代之的东西。
They're authoritative substitutes.
他们也有权柄的代表。
Notice the introduction to the letters.
你注意这些书信的前面的介绍。
Galatians 1:1.
加拉太书1:1，做使徒的保罗，不是由于人，也不是借着人，乃是借着耶稣基督与叫他从死里复活的父神。Okay.
And the focus here.
这里的焦点是。
Is Paul is an apostle.
保罗是一个使徒。
You just read the first up to the yellow part there.
好。我们再读yellow part only.
You can just read like the beginning, just to focus.
Okay,
on that.
好，我们奉以弗所书1:1，奉神旨意做基督耶稣使徒的保罗写信给在以弗所的圣徒，就是在耶稣基督里有忠心的人。
Again, he focuses on he's an apostle.
啊，再次他的重点是他是做使徒的保罗，使徒啊。
Peter as well.
彼得也是啊，做耶稣基督的仆人和使徒的西门彼得写信给那因我们的神和救主耶稣基督之义与我们同得一样宝贵信心的人。
So they're authoritative substitutes.
所以这些是有权柄的代表的书信。
And the letters are all authoritative.
这些有权柄的书信呢
？Since the authors were apostles.
既然这些作者是使徒啊
or at least connected to an apostle.
或者跟使徒有关的人啊。
Therefore, they are Christ's authentic representatives.
因此他们是基督有权柄的代表。
The main interpretation principle to remember.
有一些重要最主要的解释解经的原则我们要记得的。
For the letters, is that they are occasional or situational.
好，我们要解经解释书信的原则就是他们是是因着当时的情况是对症下药的是根据情况而写出来的书信。
They were written to address specific situations.
他们写作的目的呢是为了针对对症下药是针对当时的情况而写的。
Or problems related to the author or reader.
或者跟作者或者是读者当时有关正在发生的一些问题来解决问题的书信。
Some of them were written to address the needs.
有一些是写下来为了满足当时的需要。
Clarify issues.
或者把一些情况不清楚的弄明白。
Address doctrinal problems.
或者是把教义的讲解清楚。
Or confront readers about behavior.
或者要面对读者，因为他们有一些生活上的问题要纠正他们。
And you can see.In the letter to 1 Corinthians, for example,
你可以看到，譬如说，哥林多前书
that there were problems with behavior.
他们生活上有问题了
and there were doctrinal problems.
或者教义上的问题
they had issues that needed clarified.
还有一些事情需要阐明
so there was lots of problems there.
是因为教会有问题嘛
and the letter was written to address those.
所以保罗就写信来纠正，来针对这些问题，对症下药。
Even though there was an occasion that caused the writing of the letter,
虽然写信是有原因的，因为面对一些情况。
We don't want to read every verse as a response to false teaching.
但是我们不要把所有的保罗书信或者他们的书信当作都是在回应教义上的错误啊，不是的。
Some people have done that.
有人那么做啊。
Where they look at every verse as a response.
他们看每一节经文书信都是在回应都不见得。
So let's imagine.
好，我们想象啊。
That's the case.
的确，如果是这样子的话。
What if every single command was a response to false teachers?
如果是针对当时的假教师、假师傅的错误教导，所以每一节经文都是在回应的话。
This is what it would look like in 1 Timothy.
那么提摩太前书就会变成这样了。
One, it would mean that the false teachers in Ephesus taught.
第一呢，意思就是在 Ephesus, 在以弗所教会的这些假师傅教导。
Don't pray for those in authority.
不要为在权柄的在上有权柄的人祷告。
Now that's not very likely.
这不太可能吧。
It would mean that they taught that.God only wanted some people saved.
也会教导神只要一部分的人得救。
That's not likely.
也不太可能吧。
It would mean that they taught that church leaders do not need to be above reproach.
这意思说教会的领袖呢不需要无可指责。
Do not have to be faithful to their wives.
不需要向他们妻子忠心。
Do not have to be hospitable.
不需要善乐意接待远人。
And do not have to be able to teach.
也不需要善于教导。
Again, very unlikely.
这也不像啊。
It would mean they taught that church leaders can be drunkards.
这意思说教会领袖可以醉酒。
Church leaders can be violent and quarrelsome.
可以残暴，可以脾气不好，可以喜欢吵架。
And church leaders can be greedy or lovers of money.
可能也是很贪心，贪爱钱财。
Again, not likely.
当然不太可能啊。
So, not every command.
所以不是这些书信里每一个命令。
Is a response to false teaching.
都是在回应错误的情况或是错误的教导而写的。
There is lasting value found in the principles of the text.
在这些经文里头有一些永恒的原则和价值我们可以在其中找到。
When we recognize the situational nature of the letters.
当我们明白这些书信有针对性的时候。
That should drive us to pay better attention to the context.
那我们就应该更加的 留意其中的内容。
However,
然而
the letters are not systematic theology books.
这些书信啊，不是系统神学的书信啊。
An example of the different emphases in the letters.
我们看到这书信里头有不同的强调的重点。
Galatians.
加拉太书。
Freedom in Christ is emphasized.
基督里的自由是他所强调的。
Since they are struggling with legalism.
因为他们跟律法主义在斗争啊，所以叫强调自由。
In 1 Corinthians.
在哥林多前书呢。
Obedience is emphasized.
强调的是顺服。
Since they are taking freedom to immoral extremes.
因为他们自由过分了，以至于放荡在道德的事上就过分了，超越了。
These aren't contradictions.
这不是矛盾的啊。
They're just different emphases for different audiences.
他们不过是对不同的对象有不同的针对性，有不同的角度。
So one of the questions to ask.
所以我们要问的其中一个问题。
When interpreting letters.
当我们解释书信的时候要问的。
Is what was the situation or issue being addressed by these letters?
这些书信要针对的是哪一些问题，当时所面对的情况是什么。
It's like listening to one side of a telephone conversation.
就像在听两个人在对话，只听到一方的电话的对话。
We read the answers, but we don't know what the question is.
我们只读到了答案，但是我们不知道他问的问题是什么。
So,
好。
We had the five steps of interpretation.
所以我们有五个步骤，解释书信的五个步骤。
Let's walk through those in letters.
好，我们一步步来看，按部就班啊。
And we're going to use a few verses from Titus.
我们要从提多书看其中几段经文。
And I'm intentionally using verses that are not commonly taught on.
我尤其要看那些我们平常不太看的、不注意的一些经文啊。
Step one.
好，第一步。
What did it mean to the original audience?
好，当时的读者对他们这些书信有什么意思呢？
What translation for you? Titus 3:13.
好，提多书三章十三节。你要赶紧给律师希纳和亚波罗送行，叫他们没有缺乏。OK.
This is a verse.
这是一节经文啊。
That is usually ignored.
通常大家都不注意的。
When someone teaches through Titus,
我们教导提多书的时候会忽略掉的。
Doesn't look like there's much there.
好像呢，这有什么意思呢？没什么意义吗
？Do you know anyone named Zenas?
你知道这两个人叫这个名字，希纳跟亚波罗。
Or someone named Apollos?
或亚波罗。
If not,
如果你不认得的话
，then this verse must not apply to you.
这段经文跟你没什么意义吗？跟你没有应用价值吗
？That's not true.
不对，不对。
There is.Underlying principles.
这下面有一些基本的原则。
Theological principles.
有神学的原则。
That we can take from this verse.
我们可以从这节经文领悟出来。
And make it very applicable today.
而且对今天是大有实用价值。
Even if you don't know someone named Zenas or Apollos.
尽管你不认识亚波罗和希纳是谁，不要紧。
So we're going to ask some background questions.
我们要问一些背景的问题啊。
Who wrote Titus?
谁写提多书啊？
Paul did.
保罗啊，使徒保罗。
What was his background?
保罗的背景是什么呢
？Paul was a Jew.
保罗是一个犹太人。
A Pharisee.
也是从前是法利赛人。
When did he write it?
他什么时候写的呢
？Titus was written about 64 AD.
大概是主后64年写的啊。
What was the nature of his ministry?
保罗的服事的性质是什么呢
？Paul was an apostle.
他是一个使徒。
What was the relationship to his audience?
他写这个写作的跟读者有什么关系呢
well, ？Paul had discipled Titus.
保罗是提多的师傅哈，提多是一个门徒，是一个工人。
Who was his audience?
那他的听众是谁呢？读者是谁呢
？It would be Titus in the church of Crete.
提多和在克里底的教会。
So all of these questions help inform us.
好，这些问题呢都帮助我们了解
for the original setting for the letter
当时的背景啊，当时的情况。
Let's look at Titus 1:5.
我们看第一章的第五节。我从前留你在格里底，是要你将那没有办完的事都办整齐了，又照我所吩咐你在各城设立长老。
Some people have read this.
有些人读了这些经文啊。
And have decided.
就决定了啊。
That outsiders should appoint elders in churches.
就是教会外面的一些人要进来在教会里头按立长老。
Is that the case?
是不是这个意思呢？
We're going to talk about that as we go through.
我们继续讲的时候，我们会继续解释啊。
But these are the two verses we're going to be following the steps through.
好，这些经文我们会继续的看，一步一步看。
One step you can use when interpreting letters.
其中一步呢，当你解释书信的时候
，is to try to outline the book.
就是把这本书信的大纲整理出来啊。
You read the book over and over several times.
你读多读书信多读几遍。
And you try to figure out the structure of the book.
然后你要看到这封书信的结构。
Find the major breaks in the book.
然后看到这里头的主要的分段在哪。
And therefore get the context for your passage from the outline.
然后从你的大纲里头看到这封书信的上下前后文的关系。
If you remember step two,
好，你记得第二个步骤
，the river of differences,
就是那条河流的距离啊。
So what are the differences between the original audience and us?
就是当时的读者和我们今天有什么距离，什么不同呢
？Well, for Titus 1:5,
一章五节
，we don't have to read it again.
Okay,
Titus 1:5, one of the differences,
其中一个不同呢，就是。
Is we have an apostle.
好，我们这里有一个使徒
appointing someone
在按立一个人
to appoint elders.
他差派一个人去在那里按立使长老
We don't have apostles.
我们今天没有使徒了吗
So we don't have someone to appoint elders.
所以我们没有一个使徒差派一个人去按立长老了，这是不同啊。
Another difference.
好，另外一个不同就是。
At least with America,
至少在美国
would be the church in Crete.
就是在格里底的教会呢
was very young,
是非常幼嫩的，刚刚开始的
and not many people of maturity were there.
那当中没有什么成熟的基督徒啊
Now that may not be the case in some places in China.
在中国也可能不是这样的情况啊
So that might not be a difference.
所以 might not.可能不是没有不同啊，在中国可能差不多的情况，也许。
So the river would be wider in America.
所以在美国这个河流的距离不同呢，会更远一点。
And a little more narrow for China context.
在中国的情况也许就更近一点，因为也是比较嫩一点的教会啊。
In step three.
好，第三个步骤。
We're asking about.The underlying theological principles.
我们问的是其中有什么基本的神学的原则我们可以学习到的。
A good way to get to this.
哦，其中一个很好的方法呢，能够明白。
With the letters.
就是在书信里头找到这个原则。
Is to ask why a particular command or instruction was given.
就是为什么这里有一些命令，有一些吩咐，为什么会有
？So for Titus 1:5.
所以提多书的一章五节呢？
Why did Paul appoint Titus to appoint elders?
为什么保罗会差派提多去按立长老呢
？I would suggest
我的建议是啊
，the following principle
下面几个原则。
In settings of immaturity
在一些不成熟的环境中
，the leadership
当教会的领袖
needs to take a more authoritative role
需要。更加的运用他们的权柄。
What about Titus 3:13?
在三章十三节啊，提多书。
Some of this depends.
这些是根据。
On who Zenas is?
谁是希纳？律师希纳。
And who Apollos is?
谁是亚波罗
？If the Apollos
如果亚波罗呢
refers to the Apollos in Acts of the Apostles,
讲的就是使徒行传那个使徒行传那个亚波罗的话
which I think is likely,
我想很可能就是那个亚波罗使徒行传那个
then Paul is talking about Christian ministers.
现在保罗讲的就是一些基督徒的传道人啊。
If they're ministers,
如果他们是传道人的话
then the underlying principle,
所以这下面的原则基本原则我们要学到的是
would be providing for Christian ministers.
我们应该顾及到基督徒的传道人的需要。
Otherwise,
要不然呢?
It may be just loving fellow Christians.
就是爱你的弟兄姊妹，爱教会里的众弟兄。
Even those that aren't in your church, from your church.
尽管他们不是你教会里的弟兄姊妹，你也要顾及到他们需要，叫他们没有缺乏。
But I think that they're probably ministers.
但我相信他们指的是这两个人指的是一些传道人啊。
So then the principle would be providing for Christian ministers.
所以我们要学到的原则是我们要顾及到他们的需要，供给他们所用的。
So step four.
好，第四个步骤呢
？Is correlation.
就是把他们的关系结连起来啊。
You want to ask?
你要问的问题是
？What other verses in the New Testament?
其他新约有没有别的经文？
Or the Old Testament,
或者在旧约圣经里头有经文
impact the theological principle.
跟这一段经文有相关的啊，跟这个神学原则有相连的。
So for Titus 3:13,
所以提多书的三章十三节呢
，concluding that it refers to providing for Christian ministers.
好，我们最后结论是我们需要顾及到传道人的需要。
I would go to Galatians 6:6.
我就去到加拉太书六章六节，在道理上受教的，当把一切需用的供给施教的人。
Now the idea of sharing all good things,
所以把好东西跟别人分享啊
，would include more than just providing money.
这不仅仅是捐钱而已，不仅仅。
But it would include the idea of providing money.
当然也包括钱啊，金钱。
It's more general than.
但是更是包罗万象了。
One of the main passages,
其中一段最主要的经文
that would advocate,
就是在教导
providing for Christian ministers,
要顾及到传道人的需要呢
would be 1 Corinthians 9,
就是在哥林多前书的第九章，人家说第九章三到十二节，我对那盘问我的人就是这样分数，难道我们没有权柄靠福音吃喝吗？难道我们没有权柄娶信主的姊妹为妻，带着一同往来，仿佛其余的使徒和主的弟兄并基法一样吗？唯有我与巴拿巴没有权柄不做工吗？有谁当兵自备粮饷呢？有谁栽种葡萄园不吃园里的果子呢？有谁牧养牛羊不吃牛羊的奶呢？我说这话岂是照人的意见，律法也不也这样说吗？不也是这样说吗？好，就如摩西的律法记着说，牛在场上捶骨的时候不可拢住他的嘴，难道神所挂念的是牛吗？不全是为我们说的吗？分明是为我们说的，因为耕种的当存着指望去耕种，打场的也当存着得粮的指望去打场。我们若把属灵的种子撒在你们中间，就是从你们收割奉养肉身之物，这还算大事吗？若别人在你们身上有这样权柄，何况我们呢？然而我们没有用过这权柄，到凡事忍受，免得基督的福音被阻隔。
So ministers of the gospel,
所以传道人
have the right,
福音传道人有权柄
to be supported by the gospel,
靠福音养生。
Now remember context,
你记得这个上下前后文啊
，and how important context is,
上下前后是何等重要，记得啊。
1 Corinthians 9,
跟多前书第九章
is actually an illustration
是在说明
of what was taught in 1 Corinthians 8,
说明在灵前第八章所教导的内容是在示范。
In 1 Corinthians 8,
在灵前第八章呢
，Paul was talking about food sacrifice to idols.
保罗所讲的是祭偶像之物啊，这些食物。
And though he has the right to eat food sacrificed to idols,
尽管他有权柄可以吃祭偶像之物
in order not to be a stumbling block to others,
但是为了不绊倒别人
He didn't use that right.
他没有使用他的权柄，他宁可不吃。
So 1 Corinthians 9,
所以林前第九章呢,
is an example of this.
就是在示范他讲的那个原则。
He has the right to be supported.
尽管他有权柄得到供养。
But he's giving up that right.
但宁可放弃他的权柄。
It was more important to him.
对他来说重要的是,
to be able to preach the gospel.
是传讲福音。
Without hindrance.
不要拦阻福音。
Than to be supported.
他宁可传福音也不要绊倒人。
Nonetheless,
也不要得到供养。然而,
the illustration only works because gospels have a right to, ministers of the gospels have a right to be supported.
因为传道人有权柄得到供养，所以这个例子可以用得上。
Application.
好，现在应用了啊，第五步。
So for Titus 3:13.
所以提多书的三章十五节啊。
If a minister of the gospel,
一个传道人，福音的使者
needs help financially.
当然他经济上需要帮助。
With food,
需要食物。
Any kind of expense,
还有任何的花费。
He should be helped.
他应该有人帮助。
Now sometimes in America,
有时候在美国,
we have ministers,
我们有传道人啊,
who have 5 or 6 cars,
有五六部大车,
$1 million houses,
住在百万元的大洋房里头。
But one of the qualifications for a minister,
但是做传道人的其中一个资格是什么?
Not a lover of money,
就是不可贪爱钱财。
So, when we know someone's qualified,
当我们知道有人够资格做长老或监督或传道人,
and they're not a lover of money,
而且他们不爱钱财,
but some unforeseen expense comes up,
但有一些没有意想到的花费开销,
we should try to provide for them.
我们就要尽量帮助他们。
That from help Zenas and Apollos on their way.
就如三章十三节,帮助律师希纳跟亚波罗使他们没有缺乏。就从这段经文得来的结论。
For Titus 1:5,
在提多书一章五节呢?
I would say that in a normal situation,
我可以那么说，在一般情况下啊。
Not that America is very normal.
现在美国不太一般了啊。
That the church itself should decide on its leadership.
这教会本身应该选出他自己的领袖啊。
But,
但是
In areas where the church is not established,
在一些教会还没有完全建立的一些地方,
then those helping to establish the church,
他们正在帮助建立教会,在宣教工厂上,
should take a more authoritative role,
应该有一个更有权柄的方法,
in choosing who the leaders will be,
来选择教会的领袖。
So that's how you get to the theological principle.
这些就是讲到神学的原则了。
Through asking the question why,
就问为什么，你问。
In letters.
为什么在提多书会这么样写。
So repeating again the 5 steps.
好，我再重复这五个步骤啊。
Understand the text in their town.
哦，明白在他们的情况下，当时的情况，这些经文所写的背景。
Look at the river of differences.
然后看到这条河流的距离，就是不同，当时跟现在的不同。
Discover the theological principle.
然后再发掘它下面的基本的神学或是原则。
Find other verses that support your theological principle.
然后要找到别的经文来跟你现在的原则配合的。
And then apply the text today.
然后再应用在今天的情况下。
The occasional or situational nature of letters.
这封信的针对性啊，它是对当时的情况针对下药。
Should not stop us.
不应该阻止我们。
From using them for today.
把它应用到今天。
Many people have argued.
很多人都辩论了，都说。
Against the application.
说不能这么应用。
Or relevance,
或者跟今天没有关系。
Of some verses in the New Testament,
说这些新约的经文跟今天没关系。
Because the letters are addressing specific circumstances.
他讲的是过去是那个情况，跟我们今天没关系啊，他们会说。
For example,
譬如啊，
one of the biggest ones,
其中一个最大的一段经文啊，
is 1 Timothy 2:12.
提摩太前书二章十二节。
I don't have it here, but which says women are not to teach nor have authority over men.
也就是说，2:12，提摩太后书。
2:12.
Okay, let me read it.11女人要沉默沉静学到一味的顺服我不许女人讲道也不许她辖管男人
12. You agree 12?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. 只要沉静 OK.
Yeah. Some people have said, well, Paul only said that.
有人说呢保罗那么讲啊
Because...Women weren't educated back then.
因为那个时候、女人没有受过教育嘛。
Now that women get an education,
现在女人都受了很好的教育啊。
He'd be okay with it.
所以女人讲道没问题。
some people have said,
还有人说呢
that Paul was saying this.
保罗讲这些话。
And it was just his opinion.
这是他个人的偏见。
However,
然而
the following verses,
下面这些经文呢
In the following verses, Paul gives his reasons.
在13-14节，保罗是讲原因了，为什么女人不准讲道。
He says, for Adam was not formed first.
因为亚当不是先造的。
But Eve.
对不起，是先的先。
Eve was not formed first, but Adam.
Okay,
sorry.
不是亚当被引诱，那是女人被引诱。
So he gives his reason.
他就讲那个理由。
Based in the creation of mankind.
是根据人创造的次序，是男人先造，女人后造。
He himself is saying.
他自己也在讲。
That it's an eternal idea.
这是一个永恒的原则嘛。
It wasn't because of the fall.
不是因为人犯罪堕落了。
It wasn't because of a lack of education.
也不是因为缺乏教育。
It was eternal.
乃是一个永恒原则，神先造亚当嘛。
So all of Paul's letters,
所以保罗所有的书信呢,
contain an enormous amount of helpful information.
里头都有许许多多有帮助的一些信息。
For teaching,
要对于教训。
For reproof,
督责。
For correction,
使人归正。
For training,
教导人学义都是有益处的嘛。
Please visit our website at heartcrymissionary.com.There you will find information about the ministry, our purpose, beliefs and methodologies, and extensive information about the missionaries we are privileged to serve.